Well, I'm kind of sad that this is our last day. We've had a great time this weekend. At least I have. This has been a lot of fun. Great concerts. Just good stuff. And I hope that this isn't the last time that you do this kind of thing. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is evangelism in the body of Christ. And how does it work? All right? If you have your Bibles today, I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And he says, we write this to make our joy complete. Interesting term there. He says, our joy. He didn't say we write this to make my joy complete. He said we did it so that our joy together could be complete. You know, spending this time with you this weekend has been wonderful. Not only are there great people here in Sweden and in some of the other countries that have joined us this weekend as well, but you have a real heart for evangelism and a real heart for people to come to know Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful. Except there's a few things you still need to do. And that is to learn how to work together as a team to see it come to pass. I want to go back to a little bit of Christian rock and roll history, if I can, to draw from some of our experiences and maybe offer you some things that you can do to mobilize a great effort to bring people to Jesus Christ here in Sweden. Because I think you have exactly what it takes. There's just a few little things you still need to do. When we first started Sanctuary in 1985, the first thing we did was to get all the bands together. We realized that if we could just get the bands together and get them working together, that we'd have a wonderful opportunity for evangelism. And if we weren't able to accomplish that, that there was very little that could be done. So the very first meeting we ever had was with bands. We had 19 of them in our first meeting. Everybody from Striper to Baron Cross to Guardian to you name it. Everybody was there. Deliverance. And then a lot of people who would become bands. You know, bands like Vengeance and Tourniquet and lots of other bands. And we got everybody together and we started having Bible studies together. And we agreed that we would begin the process of working together to see Jesus Christ move in the area of Christian rock and roll. And to make it not just concert-oriented, but evangelism-oriented. You understand what I mean? Now, that's a real important thing. It's also the foundation of Scripture. The Bible tells us that as we work together in the body of Christ, and as we evangelize together, great things begin to happen. We went through a lot of things together. We went through a lot of criticism. You know, I was called a lot of names in those days. I still am, but probably more in those days. One very, very famous TV preacher called me the heavy metal pastor from hell. And I had a few others that were not even that kind. And once in a while in the press, I was crucified, and so were some of the bands. But I think the one thing we had going for us is that we were all doing it together. We all understood the ministry. We understood what God was doing with us. We had a common bond being brothers and sisters in the Lord, and a bond being rock and roll musicians. And with all of that together, great things began to happen. Now, I've spent time with many of you here this weekend, and others I wish I could have gotten to know you. There just hasn't been enough time. And I've heard some great concerts, wonderful talent here as well. But there is one thing that's lacking still, and that is that you have to begin to work together. You know, in the world, when bands get together, there's competition. Who can sell the most albums? You know, who can reach the number one spot on the charts first? And I remember before we started Sanctuary, there were a few bands that were out there that were trying to get going, and everybody would fight over who was going to headline a show. And whoever was headlining the show, on the posters, their picture would be really big, and then it would have the other bands that were playing with them in really small letters. And it got to the place where it didn't matter who was headlining the show, whoever was making the posters was the band that had the big picture. And then sometimes for the same concert, you'd have different bands with the big picture, depending on who was making the posters. You know what I'm saying? And so there was kind of a competition going on. And then people would take sides as well. Well, I like this band better than this band. And they'd kind of show their allegiance to a certain band more than another, to the point where they would go to a concert just to hear one band and then leave when the other ones would begin to play, instead of working together for a common goal. Now, I would love to say that that continued. I think it's a problem again now in the United States too. But when we mobilized at the very beginning, it was not. We not only decided to work together, but we decided to help each other. When one band had a concert, another band would come and set up all their equipment for them, help them carry in all their gear, roadie for them, we call it. And so there was always a working together. And the next time when that band had a concert, the other band would come and help them, you know, load in their guitars and drums and everything. And so there was a working together, and there was a camaraderie, a togetherness that everybody had. Now that kind of goes against our grain when we're trying to build a super group, when we're trying to get popular and famous. But folks, as Christians, and as Christians who believe that we are here to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no room for competition. The only thing that will mobilize your evangelism efforts for Sweden is if you begin to work together. One of the characteristics of the early church was that they began to work together. And the Bible talks about that effort, and it talks about it as being very exciting. It says the apostles in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, the apostles dedicated themselves to teaching, breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer, four things. And then the following verse says, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles as a result of that. In verse 41, and then again in verse 47, it says, and many were added to their number that day. Two consecutive days. One of those days, over 3,000 were added in one day. How? Were they added because people had little groups here and there and everybody was doing their own thing? No. They were added because everybody began to work together for a common goal. Now, let me encourage you with something. One of the biggest problems in Christianity today is that we have too many denominations. And it really is. And I'm a Bible teacher, and so I really understand my desire for being correct as far as Bible translation is concerned. And I've spent my life doing that, going back to the original Hebrew, to the original Greek, and really beginning to understand. I've taught on the college level twice, in colleges, and now I'm teaching in our own Bible college. but I really enjoy that, and I've devoted my life to discipleship and teaching. And so I could sit down with all of you and argue about who's the best denomination, which one is the closest, I think, to Scripture and all of that. But you know what? Very little of that makes any difference at all. In fact, in my old age, I have learned one great thing, and that is to celebrate diversity, to celebrate differences. If we have one thing in common, that we all believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but through Him, then we have what it takes to work together. And everything else, basically, is minor. If we all agree on how somebody gets saved, everything else is minor. Except we want to major on the minor things. The major point is this, folks. We have something in common, and that is Jesus Christ. We have a common goal, and that is to win as many people to Jesus Christ as we possibly can. And so today, I want to give you a few challenges. These are the hardest challenges you will ever have, but they will also be the most successful. So if you prop your eyes open just a little bit more, those of you that are ready to fall asleep, I'd like to share them with you. Number one, if you want to reach the rock and roll crowd in Sweden for Jesus Christ, it will only happen as you begin to work together and seek the Lord together. And you do it as a team, not individually. Not just Narnia going out and winning some souls for Christ. Not just Sons of Thunder going out and winning souls for Christ. But all the bands working together to win souls for Christ. Now, what does that mean? It means that a lot of different styles of music. You know, and look at all the different styles we've had here today, or this weekend as well. We had a punk band. We've had some middle-of-the-road heavy metal bands. We have some bands that didn't play. We have a death metal band that's here. We have, last night I talked to a couple guys that are more in a kind of a glam metal band, kind of a striper type of a band. We've got a little bit of everything. Have you noticed that? And it's okay, even if you have a little different style of music, to work together for a common goal. And so I'd like to suggest a few things. And I don't know who God is about to lift up in your body, but I think there are several people here today that are about to become leaders in a movement in Sweden. I don't know who they are. I'd love to help any way that I can. And if that means that we come back again just to meet with bands, and I'll bring some band people with me. We were talking last night about coming back and bringing Jim from Barron Cross and maybe Michael Sweet and maybe a few other people that really understand ministry and mobilization and have been with us from the beginning doing that. I'd love to bring them and share some things. But also, I think mostly you can do it on your own. So number one is you need to get everybody together. And I'd like to suggest, folks, that in this group somewhere is the leadership to get all the bands together, not to play together necessarily at first, but to get together to pray together. To pray, to ask God to begin to move in your city, to begin to move in Sweden, to begin to move in all the Scandinavian countries, and to begin to mobilize a great effort for that to begin to happen. And you may not play music for a while. You may just pray for a while and ask God to show you what to do. Now, let me tell you something else. There are several people that I've talked to this weekend who have a great vision for bands and have a great vision for a particular band that they're putting together. Only they're missing maybe a member or two. One band I talked to was missing a drummer. Another one was missing a bass player. And there are many people here who have a real desire to be in a band, but they don't have any other band members. You know, out of the group that we started with, I don't know how many bands we formed, but then I'm not sure how many people were in each other's bands as well. It seems like whenever there was a band member missing in one band, there was somebody from another band that was ready to fill in for them. And we created so many bands, I can't even remember how many. We just created them. You know, if there was a need and there was a singer that needed a band, we're thinking, okay, there's this person, and this person, let's put all them together and let's make a band. And we created many bands doing exactly that. Because there was a pool, there was a resource. And everybody was working together. Nobody really cared about one-upmanship, about one band being better than another. We had a bigger goal than that, and that was to reach people for Jesus Christ. So, again, my first suggestion, folks, is that you mobilize, that you get all the bands together and begin to pray, and that you go from individual band ministry to corporate band ministry, where you do it all together. If you can understand that, and if you can adopt that mentality, you will begin to see things change. You'll begin to see God dramatically move. So that's number one. The second one is that you begin to actually work together. It's one thing to get together to pray and to get together to know each other. I just found out that this weekend is the first time that most of the bands have gotten together. In fact, this weekend was the first time that many bands had met each other. That's horrible. You understand what I'm saying? That shouldn't be. Get to know each other. And then when you begin to have concerts, you put them together as a group. You support each other as a group. When one band is playing, another band comes and helps them set up, supports them, and then the other band does the same thing the next time. But if you can get everybody together and mobilize the group, you'll see great things happen. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." I was at a concert not very long ago with actually one of my favorite new bands called Disciple. And they just finished their new album, and you'll hear them soon. A hardcore band, three guys in the band. One of the reasons that I like them so much is not necessarily because of the music, although they're very good, but because of their humility with the Lord. And in their concert that they just did in Nashville, they invited me to pray with them before it started. And so I got together with them. We went into their van, and they put on Delirious on the tape deck. Just praise and worship. And then they all got on the floor of the van on their faces and just began to worship the Lord. And before they were done, I saw tears coming down their faces. And I saw just a genuine, genuine love for the Lord and a great desire for people to come to know Jesus Christ. That makes me excited. And folks, let me tell you that through the years, I've endorsed a lot of bands. It used to be that you couldn't open up a Christian heavy metal tape or CD without seeing my picture on the inside. And I endorsed everybody. You know what I'm talking about. And can I be honest? If I had to go back and do it again, I probably wouldn't endorse half of them. Because a lot of them are not really serving the Lord anymore. And there were a lot of problems with many of them on the road and with some of their careers. some of their heads got real, real big. And a lot of times as their careers took off, they forgot what they were doing. And they put their priorities in other places. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ was not the most important thing. And when you mobilize as a group, folks, you can keep each other accountable as well. You know, one of the biggest problems in the music industry today, and the music industry, by the way, is sick today. The Christian music industry today is more sick than the secular one, in my opinion. And I'm ashamed to be part of it today. Because you see a lot of alcoholism, you see a lot of drug addiction, you see a lot of sexual addiction, you see a lot of things going on that should not be. But one of the biggest reasons is because most of the Christian musicians don't have any accountability whatsoever. There's no one that's keeping them in line. No one that's calling them on problems and saying, you have a problem, let's help you with it. Everybody feels like they're above all of that. And when you mobilize as a group, when you get everybody together and pray, you also get everybody together to work together and be accountable with each other. See what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, you have somebody that says, wait a minute, you have a problem, let's help you. Instead of just getting away with it and pretending like everything's okay. But Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 here says, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Whenever we forget who we're working for, we're in trouble. Now, that goes for pastors and teachers and Christian musicians. You're not exempt. Neither am I. In other words, there's only one reason, folks, those of you who are Christians, there's only one reason why you're still here, why you're still on this earth, and that is to glorify the Lord and to bring as many people as you can to know Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. Anything else is out of place. 1 Samuel 12:24 says this, but be sure to fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done for you. Now, as I'm suggesting that you get all the bands together and that you begin to have a group effort to win Sweden and other countries around here for the Lord, I also realize that I'm asking you to do probably the hardest thing you've ever done. This will not be easy. And also another thing that I've heard is several people saying, well, you know, we're trying to get a record company to look at us. We're trying to get signed. You know, we want all that to happen. And that's a problem as well. Because many times, folks, people sign with companies that aren't good for them. And they don't understand their ministry. I would love to see somebody put something together here so the bands could not necessarily put a record company together, but put a distribution company together and distribute especially in this area of the world. Mobilize once again your efforts. Do it together. That's what we did as well. It wasn't easy. When we started a record company, Intense Records, I had no idea what we were doing. I still don't have any idea what we were doing. But we did it, and we were very successful at it as well. But it's something that had to be done, and nobody else could do it. So we just did. And again, I think in your group here, there are people who have a burden for that kind of thing to happen. Can I just get off on that subject for just a second? I'm rambling now, but I'm a rambling kind of guy. So let me just say this for a minute. I think also it's time, I'm going to get in trouble for this one, but I think it's time for Christian record companies to quit being so greedy and to begin to look at ministry a little more. And I believe that so strongly that I'm almost in favor of doing away with Christian record companies altogether. And just, I would love to see somebody, a group of people, start a distribution company, a non-profit distribution company, so that the money that's made on albums go back to the bands for ministry purposes, so they can afford to travel, they can afford to do concerts, so they don't have to charge a lot of money for doing concerts, so they can go more places. I mean, all of those things is the way it should be. And I'm just putting a few ideas in your head, because I think there are probably some people here that could do some of this. It's going to be difficult. It's not easy. But I think it's important. Now, can I also tell you one more thing that I'm excited about, and that is the new magazine that you have. I remember when HM Magazine first started. I've been writing a column in there since the very beginning, a lot of years ago. And I remember when he used to run off the copies on his copy machine. And it was just a little tiny magazine that he stapled himself and put it all together. Of course, it's a little bigger than that now. But that was the original effort. And it started very humbly. You didn't start so humbly. Yours looks great all of a sudden. I mean, all of a sudden, at the very beginning, you're doing a great job. Can I invite you guys to get involved with that effort as well? Support him in prayer. Make sure that as a band that you're always letting him know what's happening so he can support you too. And that you put your efforts together to see great things happen as well. It's a wonderful idea. The next point, though, is real important as well. And it's found in Hebrews chapter 12. And if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 12, and looking at verse 14. Folks, thanks for staying awake with me. I know this is an effort this morning to just keep your eyes open. I appreciate it. Just a few more minutes, and then I'll let you go to sleep. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14 says, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. He could bring about no change of mind, though he sought the blessing with tears." Holiness. Make an effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Now, when I say the word holy, what kind of pictures do you get in your mind? When I think of holy, first of all, I think of some of the little grandmothers that have been in churches that I've pastored. You know, the ones that just are about this close to God, you know? And when you hear them pray, it's like listening to an angel. That's what I think of when I think of holy. But you know, that's not the definition. Holy is God. And holy is God's work in my life. Is it possible for you and I to be holy? Yes. That was God's decision. Yes, it is. And folks, I want to tell you that God's position in my life makes me a totally new creature. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm a new creation in Jesus Christ, a new person. And when God describes me now, he uses different words.
He doesn't use the word sinner. You know, for so many years, I've heard the church call Christians sinners saved by grace. Do you know that that term is not correct? Do you know that you are no longer a sinner saved by grace? You're only a sinner saved by grace at one point in your life. That's the point when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And after that, do you know what God calls you? A saint. Sons and daughters of the living God. That's where you stand. You're not a sinner anymore. Jesus Christ died for your sin. So whenever you call yourself a lowly sinner, it's not what God calls you. And so he's given us an inheritance. He's placed within us a new heart. We are new creations in Jesus Christ. Well, folks, that also means that a holy God has done some things in my heart and your heart to create holiness. So look what it says here. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. In other words, there are two things that we're supposed to do with each other here. To be at peace with each other, to work together in harmony, and to be holy with each other. What does that mean? How are you holy with each other? It means that you share the gifts of God together. The Bible says to encourage one another, lifting each other up, continue meeting together. And it says even more as you see the day approaching. Lift each other up, spur each other on towards love and good deeds. That's what the Bible tells us to do. So here's what I want to say in closing. I'm almost done. But let me capsulize. I believe that you are on the verge of a wonderful, wonderful revival here in this area. I believe that you have everything that you need for it to begin. You have a lot of talent. You have a lot of great bands. You have a lot of great potential and leadership.
It's working together to do it. And I want to leave you with that thought, that I don't think you're going to be successful in evangelism until that happens. So those of you that have listened to me this morning, who feel like you can be a catalyst for that happening, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to go back into the back room, back part of the room over there, just to spend a few minutes in prayer. Exchange phone numbers, whatever you need to do. Begin an effort. If you feel like God is maybe calling you to be part of a leadership for something like that happening. And then just begin to pray and see what God does. Does that sound good? Begin the process. Let's pray. Stand with me, would you? Lord, I thank you so much for this weekend. Lord, it has blessed me so much. It's wonderful to see all the great things that are happening here. All the talent. Lord, people who truly love you here. And Lord, I thank you that some great things are about to happen. Great things have been happening, but even greater things are about to happen. Lord, I pray that you would continue to put on the minds and the hearts of people here a desire to work together for a common goal, to see great things happen in this part of the world. Lord Jesus, we don't have any agenda. Lord, we just want to worship you. There's no need for for superstars and super bands here. Lord, we're evangelists for a living God. And we have one message and one message only. And that is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that that message would burn in our hearts, would be the most important thing that we do, and so that all of our efforts would fall in line in a common goal. So, Lord, I thank you for what you're about to do here. Lord, I thank you for what you've already been doing. But I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do as well. Lord, we just ask you to move mightily. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just real quickly while you're standing, those of you that feel a burden for what I'm talking about today and also feel like you might want to be involved in a corporate effort to make some things happen, would you just slip out of where you're standing right now and go to the back of the room over there and just exchange phone numbers, pray together, whatever you need to do. But at least just acknowledge that you're ready to begin a process of seeing people come to Jesus Christ together, working together. Real quickly, if you're one of those, just slip out and go back to the back of the room there and begin that effort. Thank you. We'll just wait for you to do that. Daniel, what else do we need to talk about here real quickly? What's that? Anything else we need to do before we close our meeting today?
Ja, det var det. Det var bombfest 99 alltså. Grymt kul att ni har varit här allihopa och hoppas att ni har tyckt att det har varit kul och så. Trots att du har strulat lite några gånger, men vi har kommit igenom alltihopa. Och det har vi verkligen Gud att tacka för. Vi skulle vilja passa på att tacka lite olika människor som har hjälpt oss på olika sätt. Först och främst kanske Vineyard för att de har ställt upp med den här lokalen. Låt oss använda den helt gratis. Det är suveränt verkligen. Och sen alla som har hjälpt till och lagat mat och grejat och varit nattvakter och allt möjligt. Det är verkligen suveränt. Ni kanske inte har vet hur mycket vi uppskattar det. Jag har bara sprungit runt och sett upptagna ut hela tiden, men jag uppskattar det verkligen. Ja, det finns väl ett... Vilka mer behöver vi tacka? Vi inte glömmer några. Vi har ju ett gäng sponsorer och så också som har ställt upp och hjälpt oss. FS och Samspar och Max. Och sen fick vi också i fredags då väldigt bra hjälp med ljudet från Billebro ljud och så. Så de kan ni anlita ifall vi har ljud någon gång, för de är schyssta. De är billiga.
Of course, we also like to thank Pastor Bob for coming here to Sweden. It's just been great having you here. And I think we are all very thankful that you had the time to come here and speak to us.
Vi vill heller inte glömma att säga tack till alla banden som har medverkat här under helgen. Utan att ni hade kommit så hade inte den här helgen blivit vad den blev. Och inte utan er som besökare heller. Ett jättestort tack till alla att ni kom och tog er tid och resa upp hit till Stockholm och medverka under hela helgen. Jättetack! Innan vi slutar så tänkte jag vi skulle be en sväng och tacka för det som har hänt under helgen och också be för fortsättningen av det här, och eventuellt så kommer vi att genomföra en liknande festival om ungefär ett år skulle vi kunna tänka oss. Ja, Jesus, jag tackar dig för den här helgen vi har fått haft här tillsammans. Ja, Jesus, tack för den härliga gemenskap som har fått prägla den här helgen med alla band som har kommit hit och spelat och varit så generösa mot oss och ställt upp på så fina villkor, Gud. Ja, Jesus, jag tackar också för alla besökare som har kommit hit under helgen. Ja, Jesus, jag ber att den här helgen ska få sätta spår i människors liv, Gud. Inte bara ytliga spår utan verkligen sätta spår på djupet, Gud. Ja, Jesus, jag tackar dig för den undervisning som pastor Bob har fått förmedla här under helgen, Gud. Ja, Jesus, jag ber att den ska fortsätta få verka i människors hjärtan en lång tid framöver, Gud. Och även att vi ska få se en fortsättning av det här framöver, Gud. Ja, Jesus, tack för att även om det har verkat struligt och vi har stött på mycket motstånd och problem under helgens gång, så har allting fått ordna sig till det bästa, Gud. Ja, Jesus, jag tackar dig för att vi har fått lägga allting i dina händer och då har allt också ordnat sig, Gud. Ja, halleluja, Jesus. Jag bara tackar och prisar dig för allt vi har fått vara med om under den här helgen. Amen.
Om ni vill ha pastor Bobs undervisning på kassettband så kommer det att finnas till försäljning förmodligen via hemsidan i första hand då, Come to Bobfest. Annars kan ni ju höra av er till oss då, om ni inte skulle ha tillgång till internet. Sådär. Sen får ni gärna förstås köpa med er våran Bobfest-tröja som finns några ex kvar av. Och stödja oss på det sättet. Lite Noise Gate och lite Prayer Warriors-tröja finns väl kvar också. Sådär, så att handla på bara. Men tack så mycket igen allihopa. Det var jättekul att ha er här.